When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at Dairy Speaks and Todd at TD Guardians KU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
And it is another week of the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast right here at WaitingForNextYear.com and the Evergreen Podcast Network. Matt and Todd with you. The roller coaster continues for this baseball team. Lose seven, win three. Todd, I can't keep up with all the streaks. Tito said after yesterday's game, it kind of needs to come to an end and they need to be playing more consistently. But we are, as always, brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry and Breaking Tea t-shirts at BreakingTea.com/dairy. What a weekend. A sweep of the A's, 10-12. The Cleveland Guardians, Todd, are only one of six teams in the American League with a positive run differential. There's that.
There's a lot to be excited about. I don't like the doom and gloom, the up and down. This is the youngest team in baseball, and I think that a lot of our fans have to take a step back and realize that they are the youngest team in baseball, and this is about development and working on building something to the next couple of years when your top prospects, Brian Rocchio and George Valera and the like, those guys are ready to contribute. That's when what you're building for. So you got to take a step back and look at it along those lines and enjoy what you have. I mean,
oh God, you sound like Paul Dolan.
I know when I said enjoy it, I thought about enjoy it. If I have to see it, by the way, if I have to see another. Luckily for you, you don't have to see all this garbage. Every single game, I see four different Republican primary commercials. Although it's tomorrow, so then we won't have to worry about it anymore. But big day tomorrow, huh? Big day for the Dolan family, huh?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, but anyways, I'm just saying there's a lot to get excited about. I mean, the development we are seeing between, and we'll talk about him in a second, Andrés Giménez, Josh Naylor, Owen Miller, you're starting to see a little bit of separation of guys who should be in there every day and deserve to be in there every day, and the separation from guys like Bobby Bradley and Logan Allen, who have shown that they're not ready to contribute and not players that they can count on, so they were just DFA'd. So, you know, they're doing what we've wanted them to do, which is play the kids. They're finally doing it. So I know they just swept Oakland. It was great. And they're in the middle of the stretch where it was two wins, two losses. Or I'm sorry, two losses, four wins, three losses, three wins, seven losses, three wins. I mean, I know it's an up and down, but that's what's going to happen with these kids. It's just going to happen. So let's, before everybody starts, freaking out, let's take a step back. It's been less than a month of baseball, and there's some things that I like. I don't know about you. But
There are. And you look at it and you go, I mean, I wanted them to be 500 at the end of April. They ended up being 9-12 because the road trip through New York against the Yankees and the Angels, I mean, the Anaheim baseball games were just brutal. It was bad baseball. It was not moving runners over. It was guys missing cutoff men that they couldn't catch the ball in the Quantrill start. Errors everywhere. Runners left on base. Blown saves. I mean, it was everything. And the fact of the matter was, you go into Oakland, you're like, oh my gosh, we never win there. I don't care if they're trotting out a bunch of guys from Sacramento or Double A, or even Single A with the Lansing Lugnuts. I mean, it's bad. But they righted the ship, first sweep in Oakland in 22 years, and now they come home for San Diego and Toronto, two of the better teams in all of baseball. So it's not going to get any easier, but at least they're going to play some home games. And I think they figured out a few things, including who should be playing shortstop every day.
Yeah, and I have to give you 100% credit on this. You have never wavered off of your feelings towards Andrés Giménez, and he has been awesome. And Ahmed Rosario currently has a sore wrist, and they gave him some extra time off, so he didn't play. Did he play Friday night? I can't remember.
No, he didn't play at all in this series.
So he didn't play this whole weekend. Okay. So Andrés Giménez played shortstop in all three games and was great and delivered all weekend long. If you go back to his numbers from when he started, when he came back up last season, he's really been a high-quality hitter. I mean, this is a guy he's used in all fields. He should not be a platoon who can't hit lefties, because he can. And he's by far your best defensive shortstop, which we've talked about ad nauseum on this podcast. So I love what I'm seeing for him, and kudos to you for sticking with your guy.
Well, he was the bell of the ball when it comes to the redacted ex-shortstop trade. I mean, everyone's like, oh, Ahmed Rosario, he's pretty good. He was the number one prospect. It's like, no, Giménez. Remember the day of the deal? I go, they're going to trade Giménez, because I just think he's a versatile guy that can play short and second. You know, we need a left-handed bat, and I liked him. And I know he got off to a really rough start last year, and after coming back up, he looked pretty decent. But now, like you said, I mean, he's hitting the ball hard, and the at-bats are good. I mean, the 3-2 pitch, the battling at-bat against the A's Friday night, which resulted in the grand slam, and the Sue Kelly winning the brand-new Bronco was pretty sweet. And you see some life now up the middle. You see some better plays. The plays he made behind Class A Saturday afternoon were sick in the ninth inning. And
the final out was – Ahmed's not touching that ball at short, the last play that he made to finish the game off. That was something.
Yeah.
That was something.
And so, with the way that he's hitting the baseball right now and playing the position, I still feel like, Gabe Arias could be the shortstop of the future, and maybe Giménez play second. I don't know. But regardless, right here, right now, the kid looks comfortable. And, there's no excuse why he shouldn't, like you said, he should be there every day. I mean, yeah, you're going to have to give him a breather at some point. But now with the day off today, not back at it till tomorrow, whether Ahmed's healthy or not, I don't care. Andrés Giménez has got to be at shortstop come Tuesday night.
I am going to go on the limb and say that on Tuesday night, Ahmed's going to be at short, and Giménez will be at second. I just have a bad feeling about it. I don't understand why they will continue to trot him out there. Ahmed at short. I don't understand how they said they're going to play Ahmed in the outfield, and then they played him on opening day, and the wind was really bad. They made two bad plays, and then they just scrapped it. I was Ags and I were texting about this last night, because he's a big Ahmed guy, and he wants him to stick around and thinks he deserves to play every day somewhere, not at short, obviously. And I said to him, and this is, think about it, if the weather that day in Kansas City was normal, and the wind's not bad, and Ahmed doesn't drop that ball, you think that he's played zero games in left field since opening day? Because I don't.
No, that was a huge play in the game. Yeah.
But that's the most ridiculous thing about it. It was a windy day. He made one shitty play, and they completely abandoned their plan. To me, the best way to keep, if you want to keep Ahmed's bat in the lineup, you should have him play left field and have Kwan move to right field. Naylor should be playing first, and Owen should be playing second base, and then Giménez is at short. That's your best move. I mean, we don't need to see Oscar Mercado against anything other than left-handed pitching.
He's fine. He's fine as a backup.
Right. Straw plays every day. And right now, the 26th man is Richie Palacios, who we saw this weekend.
Love him. Love it.
Really, really great to see him come up. And it was great. It was I don't remember what day it was that he came up in Anaheim. And got a hit in his first at bat, and then Andre went up and interviewed his parents for the second at bat, and he got a hit in the middle of the second at bat, which was really a cool thing. He seems like a great kid. Had the big pinch hit, game-winning RBI Saturday. So you got options. Ahmed doesn't have to play shortstop. You have plenty of options. So just play him in the outfield. Just go back to it. It can't be that difficult, right?
No,
Ahmed's a good athlete.
He is a good athlete, and he can run a little bit. But the problem is, he's not a shortstop. He's not a good one, And, you know, the throwing error in Anaheim early in the week on just a routine play. There's just too much of that. I can't see it anymore. And quite honestly, he's not hitting either. Now, they're saying that his left wrist has been bothering him since the spring. Well, then IL the guy. I mean, again, this team with their injuries. I mean, it's like a Stephen Kwan's day-to-day, and then he doesn't play till Saturday. Or maybe it was Friday night he came back. No, I think it was Saturday was his first game.
Kwan played Saturday. Yeah.
So it's just, to me right now, I loved seeing Kwan and Palacios out there. It made me smile because it's just like, all right, these are guys we've heard of for a while in the system. They're coming up and they're contributing. Neither of them are power bats by any stretch of the imagination. The one power bat we have is like so lost. But
we'll talk about that.
Hopefully he'll get it back. But look, even on days when if they feel like Franmil can play some right field, then Ahmed should DH. I mean, you know, maybe there's got to be two games a week now where Reyes is in right field. Maybe that's the way to go. Ahmed plays, Ahmed DHs those days. But I don't want to see Ahmed Rosario every day right now. I'm sorry. They're better without him.
Look at quick comparison, and I know, again, it's 19 games for Ahmed and 19 games for Andrés Giménez. Ahmed, in 76 at-bats, has a 522 OPS, okay? In 52 at-bats, Andrés Giménez has more hits, 18 to 16, than Ahmed. He has a 929 OPS. He's in 346, for God's sakes. I mean, you're going to sit that guy or move him to second?
No,
I mean,
not right now. He's in way too of a groove.
Can play. Yeah, I mean, and you know what?
It's a stone groove.
It was a stone groove all weekend. Can I tell you something, though? I think for the first time in the Tito era, we are finally seeing that the front office has kind of dictated to him that this is what's going to happen. Because the Tito I know would not have played all these kids. You know what I mean? I think he gave the Brian Shaw one time in the seventh inning as the setup man, and it didn't work. And now all of a sudden you look up and it's Trevor Stephan out there, pitching in front of Class A. Shaw's been relegated to more of a mop-up role, which is what I want. If he's on the roster, I'm fine with it, just as long as he's not pitching in high leverage. But my point is, I have a feeling that Tito's influence on the everyday lineup is not as great as it once was. Do you agree or disagree with me on that?
He's still playing Mercado too much, but I think that's because Tito views Mercado as more of a veteran. I mean, even the other night, like on Friday, he took Owen out of the game in the seventh inning for defense and put Mercado in, and then Mercado ended up getting an at-bat. And I'm like, well, why are you taking him out? But it was more of a move to move Naylor from right to first. Naylor's not 100%.
He shouldn't be playing the outfield.
He's constantly wincing with his leg. He's constantly wincing. He's not 100%, but he's gutting it out. He's doing a great job, I got to be honest.
And he's hitting the shit out of the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been great, too.
He has. So we're finding some things out, but I think that – I still think Tito still sprinkles in some of his veteran love when he puts Mercado in games, when he puts Shaw in games. I still think it's some of that's there. But, yeah, we'll find out with the Ahmed thing. I mean, if they say Ahmed's healthy and all of a sudden he's back at shortstop on Tuesday – I would think that would be more of a Tito move than a front office move. We're going to find out.
And I'll tell you another interesting thing that will come up in this sidebar. Right now they had to get the roster down to 26, and they DFA'd both Logan Allen and Bobby Bradley, who were worthy of DFA. But
they both blow.
And listen, I said this a million times. On a personal level, Bobby Bradley is an A-plus human being, and I hope he goes somewhere else and finds himself and makes himself into a viable major leaguer. But he had a million chances to do it here. He just strikes out way too much. It's not like he's some great defensive player either. This isn't Casey Kochman over there at first base where you can...
Oh,
you
nice.
Know what I mean? Oh, yeah. Where's Mitch Moreland, by the way, these days?
I still think he's unsigned. I know Travis Shaw just got DFA'd by the Red Sox, who, by the way, are terrible.
I'm not saying I want either of those guys.
No.
I'm happy with the way
we have a 1,000 first basemen. We're fine.
Yeah, But Yu Chang's going to be activated at some point, and the only other option that they can do other than DFAing Yu is sending down Ernie Clement, who I believe has a big utility role on this team. I mean, I know he's not hitting that well, but he plays every position on the diamond for the most part except for catcher, and I know Tito loves him. It's going to be interesting to see what they do, because Yu's been around a long time too, and it's not like he's been, you know, great by any stretch of the imagination either. But I mean, you could always send Palacios down, but then...
Or you could trade Ahmed for a relief pitcher.
Well, you and I have been talking about that for a while, and Ahmed is the obvious trade candidate. And I also think, by the way, when we're talking about all these moving parts, I'm fine with Gabe Arias staying down and playing every single day. He's struggling a tad. I mean, I know he came up, he played in those two games, and he started, and it was great, but he's still only 21 years old. He's very young for AAA. And right now, the way Andrés Giménez has taken a hold of that shortstop position, both with the bat and defensively, there's no reason to rush Arias. You just don't need to.
No, and apparently he got hurt yesterday in Columbus. I don't have any reports from my insiders yet, my minor league people, but sounds like he got removed from the game in Columbus yesterday. But we'll see. I mean, like I said, right now you've got to ride. Owen Miller looks like a player right now. Andrés Giménez looks like a player right now, and so does Naylor. And then, of course, Kwan does, and Straw. So you're like, all right, we're building something around Jose Ramirez here. If they could just get Franmil Reyes going, then we could have a discussion.
Oh, my God. So speaking of Franmil, so, you know, just looking at OPS numbers from, I remember last year, they had two guys who were over 750 last year, just two, which is pathetic. And that was Franmil and J-Ram. Right now, you've got J-Ram over 11, you know, 1.128.
It's MVP. It's MVP numbers.
Look at his numbers. I mean, he is what a beast. 7 homers, 28 RBIs. He's got over 1,000 OPS. He's only struck out 9 times in 82 at bats. I mean, he is just unbelievable.
Home run, Jose Ramirez.
Home run.
what a weekend for the broadcast crew. Thank God I could switch over to the A's telecast.
All weekend long, I just kept going, home run, Melo Porto. I don't know why. But going back to the OPS numbers, you got Giménez at 929, Owen Miller's at 1,100, Naylor's at 819. Franmil is at 386. How about he has 38 strikeouts in 79 at bats, and he's currently in a 1-for-29 slump.
With how many? With what? 17 strikeouts or 18? So something like that.
18.
I mean, I just.
What do you do about that?
Well, I love the fact that Tito Saturday finally waved the white flag and said he's got to sit. Even against a lefty, he sat him, which was the right move because he just is so lost. Now, yesterday, going the other way and delivering an RBI 2-run single was awesome. Maybe he did hit the ball in the next at bat. I know it was a double play ball, but his swing is just so long. And I think it was Jensen Lewis, one of those games Friday, said it, and Dallas Braden said it too on the A's broadcast. They're like, my gosh, his swing is so long. If you just throw anything off the plate on the outer half, he won't touch it because his swing's too long. So
he's getting behind in every count, and then like once he gets down in the count, you could just feel his body language.
Yeah,
you just
it's feel tough. It's a brutal game. I mean, when you fail 7.5 times out of 10, and it's still decent, it's tough mentally. It's a tough game, and he just doesn't see the baseball right now. He's trying too hard. You know he's working at it. You know he's a good dude, and he's not, you know, sulking or a bad teammate because they went out and won games this weekend in spite of him to an extent, although yesterday he helped in the win. I think he's going to be all right. This is the first true test for Chris Valleca, the new hitting coach, to kind of get this guy to shorten up, take it the other way, which he did yesterday, but now it's got to be done on a consistent basis. The home runs will come eventually, but my gosh, he's swinging too hard. His knees are buckling. It's rough to watch. I've never seen, I can't remember the last time there was this kind of slump with this kind of talented guy going this long.
I'm sure Hafner went through a skid like this, like in the later years. And I'm not talking like 06, 07, but like a couple years after that. I feel like Hafner went through a skid like this, but
it's rough.
To your point, to your point, Felipe has done a nice job with Owen Miller and Andre Ximenez and you know, Josh Naylor coming back. And you know, the offense is just so hot and cold. It's unbelievable because it doesn't seem like they're playing many close games. It's either like they're blowing people out or they're getting blown out. You know what I mean? They go through these hot and cold stretches.
You know, the team they played this weekend is not a great judge. I mean, you look at the schedule and you go, man, we got to play Toronto and San Diego this week. Like, the schedule's been tough. They got to play the Yankees. The Angels are really good. Really good. Yes. So you're like, man.
Well, their lineup, we talked about this over text all week. That lineup and the guy who killed us, Taylor Ward, destroyed us.
Yeah, well, he's destroying everybody. You got to remember, he was a former number one pick that they couldn't find a position for, and he was like a catcher, and then they made him an infielder. That didn't work. They finally put him in the outfield, and he's not just tearing us up, and I know he did destroy us, but...
Oh, my God, he was Barry Bonds.
He had a big weekend in Chicago, too, so it's not like... that lineup with Ohtani, who got hurt yesterday, Trout...
Exactly.
Ward, Walsh, Marsh.
Rendon.
Yeah, Rendon's a former, World Series MVP here. He's not chopped liver, so.
Joe Adell, they don't even have room to play Joe Adell every day.
That was brought up by Jeff Ellis. Would you trade, the Angels need infielders, we need outfielders. Would you trade, like, Ahmed and...
Ahmed, in two seconds.
And somebody for Joe Adell, because Joe Adell's just...
Two seconds.
Yeah.
You couldn't make that trade go through fast enough, in my opinion.
But I like the fact that Kwan and Palacios are on the corners right now. I mean, I know Palacios Palacios is kind of a converted infielder. You watch him on some fly balls, he's still learning, but at least he can move.
He made a really nice play in the sun yesterday. It was a real high sky ball, and he had his glove up blocking the sun. And I thought, I'm watching him. I'm like, he's going to drop this. This is 100% going to drop. And he made a nice play. I love it so much that we're finally getting to see these guys that we've heard about for so long. It's just so much better than watching, like, hey, Domingo Santana, let's get excited about that. You know what I mean? Like, for
Hanley Ramirez. Yeah, brutal.
Yeah, like
brutal.
It's so much more pleasant. I'd much rather sink or swim with one of the younger kids than the end of the rope for Hanley Ramirez or whoever.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Dairy Brothers Guardians cast here at WaitingForNextYear.com and the Evergreen Podcast Network. Matt and Todd with you. Guardians 10-12, second place. Cleveland Guardians, Comedy Central is back. BreakingT.com, by the way, if you want gear for this homestand where Todd Dairy will be making his triumphant return to the corner of Carnegie and Ontario. A lot going
four
on.
Four times this week.
a lot. How many times?
Four.
Four games this week. I mean, a lot going on in Cleveland. You've got a big Guardians homestand. Liza Fest is coming up. A lot going on in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. You know it. Also Campbell Fest. The big Bilski affair coming up very soon.
Wow. Well, I mean,
I got a back-to-back weekend. It's just going to be a friggin' stone groove
The Bilskis, yes. But I've been billing up and pumping up Liza Fest for a very long time. All right, BreakingT.com/Dairy, D-E-R-Y. Go there now. People want to wear some Stephen Kwan gear. This guy is on base every game. Get your King Kwan T-shirt at BreakingT.com/Dairy. What about the new Jose shirt? The guy's putting up huge numbers and is an MVP candidate. Whatever you like, Browns, Guardians, Cavs, or if you're into other teams and whatever, NFL draft stuff, you can get it at BreakingT.com/Dairy. Put the /Dairy in there. It takes you right to the Cleveland collection. We love the gear. Todd just got his Kansas Jayhawks National Championship T-shirt from BreakingT.com. All right, we got to get... What's that?
I said, I sure did.
We got to get the pitching matchups in here. We got to talk about the bullpen. You wrote on the prep sheet here, bullpen seems loaded. Wow.
It does. Think about how intriguing it is right now. essentially,
I don't know if it's loaded, but I like it.
Here, hear me out for a second. You got right now the way that the roster is currently constructed. You have Class A obviously pitching the back end, but Sandlin and Stephen in front of him, you're getting two different types of pitchers. You know, you got Sandlin coming from the side, very tough to see the ball coming out of his hand. And Trevor Stephen, I mean, is this one of the best draft picks of all time?
He's a weapon. He's a weapon. He is. I mean, you watch his arsenal right now, art of pitching, if I could quote Jim Price, he's nasty, man. He came in yesterday, you know, Ghost had nothing. And it's like, all right, get him out of there. It's all of a sudden it's 7-3, and there's a couple of runners on. And Stephen came in and back-to-back Ks. It was like, okay, I got this. Watch this. That was pretty impressive.
He's got nasty stuff. And what's great is they had a full year of developing him in lesser roles. I mean, it wasn't until September that they gave him, like, his first chances to pitch, you know, with roles, you know, in the lead and set up opportunities. And now the development, I was listening to Brian Sweeney, the bullpen coach, on the pregame show on the radio yesterday. And he said, you know, we weren't allowed to talk to him over during the lockout, but he had a plan. He stuck with his plan. He worked harder than, you know, he worked so hard all off season, and he came in here as a completely new man in terms of his confidence, his poise, and you can see the difference in his game out there. And he's really, I mean, again, we got him as a Rule 5 draft pick. They spent a year developing him, and now they got him in a key role, and he's just been doing unbelievably well. So between the two of them, I know Ghost had a bad outing yesterday, but that was, you know, he's been pretty good. You can't say. I'll tell you who else has been really, really underrated, Big Sam Henches. He's really
let's slow down a little bit.
Now that he's locked into his,
he's okay.
Role,
he's okay.
He's now knowing that he's going to be a reliever. He's not going to be a starter, and he's been much, much better. The command for him, it's always been about his command.
Yeah,
his command's been much better thus far. And the guy, Angel De Los Santos, who came up because of the COVID situations. He looks like he's got a serious power arm too. I really like what I'm seeing from him. I mean, they've thrown him in some tough situations, and I think he's only had one bad outing. So, and then obviously you got Brian Shaw, who's a great veteran presence out there who can help you. So I really like how the pen is shaking out. And the best part about it is we don't even have to talk about that loser who is currently injured, and we don't have to worry about whether or not he's going to actually be able to grip the ball and throw the ball over the plate.
I think they still feel like Aaron Jack can come back and help. I'll say his name. You don't have to.
Who?
But I will say,
99. Call him by his proper name, please.
I wonder if he watched the White House Correspondents' Dinner this weekend. Anyway, so it was some fine comedy.
I heard he was campaigning. I heard he was hanging out with.
He was in Nebraska at the rally.
I'm not going to say it.
He was in Nebraska at a weekend rally, unnamed rally. But I think that the key is Stephen and Sandlin, because those two guys are young. They can pitch a lot. And in games that we're winning late in the game, those are the two guys you rely upon to get you to Manny. So I think that Stephen's been awesome, man. And multiple innings Friday night. I mean, just reliable. And if that's the kind of development that they talk about with, you know, Guardians pitchers and the pitching factory and working with, you know, the staff, and obviously our man's coming back this week as the Padres pitching coach. Why is his name totally escaping me right now?
Uncle Ruben Niebla.
Ruben Niebla has been amazing for these guys, and I know they're going to probably love to see him when he comes to town this week. I'm assuming they're already in town because the Padres are coming from Pittsburgh where they get a day off, so they'll probably all see Ruben today and hang out with him and have dinner with him and all that stuff. The guys love him, but he taught them so much. But the pitching factory might have developed another one with Trevor Stephen, because like you said, the Yankees left him exposed in the draft and the Rule 5, and all of a sudden, you know, he was former starter, kind of toiling at AA and AAA, and now he's a weapon at the end of that bullet, at the back end of that bullpen. I mean, bullpens are weird. I mean, the unnamed team has the worst record of the American League, but their bullpen
yard. That's a shame.
I know. Where's Miggy and and Morosi with their playoff proclamations? But no, their ERA is really good for a bullpen, and that's a surprise. So it's, you never know. But Stephan and Sandlin leading up to Class A will win us some games. So I'm excited about that. I'm with you on that.
I'll say this though, for years and years, and this is there's no worse way to kill a good team than have a bad bullpen. Somehow this franchise every year seems to piece together a pretty decent bullpen. I mean, if you think about all those years, you know, with Rafi left and Rafi right. I mean, it's not like Rafael Perez and Rafael Betancourt were like highly touted guys that they brought up. Betancourt was like a former converted shortstop that was like DFA'd and they claimed. And he turned into being one of the best setup men that the franchise has ever had. You know, that's just one example, but like, it just seems to happen on the fly. I mean, it's year in and year out. They always seem to, they always have a core group and then they unearth a guy or two. I mean, we talked about that run where they went from basically like every year was like Matt Albers and then Otero and Atchison and, you know, it was always a manship, but one guy every year would always emerge and have like a good year or so, or they'd ride it out for a few years. You know, Nick Goody had that one good year, you know, so it's
the Goody mob.
They really do a good job of developing bullpens. And I think you're starting to see that again with this group. I mean, I know it's early, but I really do like what I'm seeing there. So
they got to get Go straightened out because he can be a weapon too. From the left side.
Yesterday, but he needed work and whatever. Eli Morgan pitched yesterday. Had pitched in 2 weeks.
He's a great guy to have out there because he can go multiple innings, and if he needs an emergency start, and he can kind of, you know, he's pretty good. You know, he's pretty good.
I'm actually surprised that they've kept him up at this point. Just from a, you want to have a sixth starter just in case someone gets hurt. And right now, if Eli's not fully stretched out, I mean, I guess the way, you know, bullpens are now, and you could use him as an opener. He only needs to really go three innings or whatever it might be. But, you know, if someone were to get hurt, Eli would be the first guy that you would put in the rotation, I would imagine. I know they sent Pilkington back down and they're stretching him back out. Cody Morris is still hurt, so you can't count on him. But I do love Eli, and I think that he can be some sort of a weapon for two innings too with his, you know, the way he pitches. Plus, you know, Brooke loves him, so it's good to have him around.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is Eli following her on Instagram?
She follows him, I can tell you that.
All right, pitching matchups, then we'll wrap this thing up. But so they're back at it Tuesday night. What a scene here as BFFs.
Oh, I can't wait.
BFFs and Chicago bar hopping buddies, Mike Clevenger and Zach Plesac, are facing each other Tuesday night at Dolan Field as the return of Clevenger and the Padres come to town. That should be interesting. Wednesday at 1.
I'll be there with Dr. Borland, and I will be in attendance.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, it's, of course, in natural Cleveland fashion, they send San Diego here for one trip for two games, and it's supposed to be 80% chance of rain on Tuesday.
Oh, really?
So wouldn't shock me if Wednesday's a doubleheader.
Oh, geez. Wednesday afternoon, Cal Quantrill against Mackenzie Gore. He of the 176 ERA, just a nasty left-hander that is real young, and they've waited on, and
he's a top prospect in baseball for a couple years.
Yeah. Then the Blue Jays come in. Toronto is playing very well. First place in the AL East. I got to see them firsthand. That's by the way, the return of Bradley Zimmer.
Oh, you think they'll have a video for him?
No.
I'm just kidding.
From what we hear from our sources inside of the clubhouse, no. Aaron Civale on Thursday night. Let's see if he can get it together. Against Jose Berríos, Friday, Shane Bieber, and Kevin Gausman. That should be a beauty of a matchup. Gausman's been pitching great.
I will be there Friday night. Oh, I'll be there. Me and Brooke will be there Friday night.
Saturday, Tristan McKenzie against Ross Stripling, who's been, you know, pretty good for them. And then Sunday, Zach Plesac and Alek Manoah, he of the 164 ERA.
He's excellent. He's really, really good.
Yeah, Dan Shulman on Twitter the other day was just talking about, is this the best young arm in the game? And it's like, well, people say, well, it's between Manoah and Gore, and we're seeing both of them this week.
Well, so, it's going to be an interesting week, but this Plesac Clevenger matchup, it's going to be something else. I mean, they're really good friends. You know, basically, Clevenger moved his way out of town when he and Plesac went out during COVID, and then they both came back and lied about it. And it was kind of the final straw with Clevenger and his, as great of a pitcher as he was, his antics and the off the field stuff was quite a distraction. And he was coming up, you know, on his big payday. And so you look back now, and props to the executive producer for making us bring this up. Look at that trade now for Clevenger. Clevenger's making his first start of the season for the Padres. I think he made one or two years ago and sat out all of last year. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, I think it was only a handful of starts.
I think it was only one or two.
I think you're right. Then he got time. Then he had to have Tommy John surgery. So
yeah, because he had Tommy John surgery for the second time. And you look up, and you're going to look at this lineup for the Guardians on Tuesday night, and you're going to have Austin Hedges behind home plate, who came over in that trade. You're going to have Josh Naylor most likely at first base, who came over in that trade. And you got Gabriel Arias, the shortstop of the future, in that trade. Cal Quantrill, who is starting on Wednesday, came over in that trade. I mean, it is – you want to talk about a steal of a deal. I mean, look, that was some when they got all of those guys.
Yeah, you never think all of them would be playing. I mean, it's crazy.
No, especially this fast. But also, you know, you get when a deal like that happens and it's quantity – more than quality, because, you know, everyone's like, oh, they didn't get Mackenzie Gore, they didn't get C.J. Abrams, you know, the real true top prospects in that organization. But in the end, you basically have four guys who are part of your future and three who are already here and playing every day. It's pretty amazing.
It is, and, you know, we kind of bust on Hedges because he can't hit much, but the pitchers love throwing to him, and you know, in a lineup that at times can look challenged offensively, if he's your 9 guy or 8 guy, it's not the end of the world. I mean, he really does block a lot of balls, and he really does do a great job back there. And
also, the leadership, though, don't forget about that.
They love him.
We hear that. We hear that from everyone about what a great leader he is and what a great dude he is, too. So that can't be discounted. Like you said, though, if this offense clicks on all cylinders as it's hitting, who cares if Hedges is hitting, you know, ninth and hitting 182 or whatever it is? You know, it doesn't matter. He's as good of a receiver back there as you're going to find in the league, and the guys love throwing to him, and that's just as important.
Yep, no, there's no question about it. All right, have fun this week as we're done. Another edition of the Deary Brothers of Guardians.
Hold on, before you go.
Yeah.
We have to give a special shout-out.
Yeah, what are you eating, by the way?
I'm not eating anything.
You're drinking. You're drinking something.
Drink. All right, I was. Your son, the great Jace, is turning 21 years old this week.
Correct.
On Wednesday.
Isn't that crazy?
So, have to give a special shout out to the fact that he is 21 years old. Makes me feel as old as possible. And he's doing a great job. He's a great kid. Special shout out to our boy, the great Jace. And also my niece, Allie, whose birthday is today, turned 12. She's a regular listener of the podcast. No joke.
Really?
They listen. Yes, she is.
All right.
Love
we'll take
band.
It.
Her and Auntie, they love listening. I'm not even kidding. So, yeah. So happy birthday to my nephew and my niece.
How about that?
Love
oh, I love
yes,
it.
Sir.
I love it. I will have to let them know to make sure they hear the shout outs at the end of the show. That shows dedication when you're 33 minutes in or whatever we are, and they're listening. But, all right, get some wins this week. Won't be easy. But, by the way, I said Blue Jays are in first place. They're actually in second, but they have the second-best record in the American League after the Yankees, who all of a sudden have heated up since playing us. They've won 9 in a row.
Gee, I was going to say, big surprise. All they needed was to see us to turn it around. I swear this happens every single year with them. They struggle. We hear how bad they are. Then we come to town, or they come here, and they kick our ass, and then they take off from there. But I will be down for all you people. I'll be down Tuesday night, Wednesday afternoon, Friday night, and Sunday afternoon.
So. Beautiful. Is that Sunday game? Is that 1:40 again?
Yes, it is 1:40.
Interesting. All right. Should we break down the Browns draft?
Let's talk about some. I have nothing. I didn't watch a second of it on. They didn't have a pick Thursday, so I watched that. Friday, I was indisposed, as you know, and Saturday, I'm not going to watch rounds. You know, 5 through 8 or whatever. You know, good for them. I hope they do a great job. And, you know, here we go, Brownies. Here we go, woof woof.
That ESPN coverage was rough on Thursday.
I turned it on. I saw it was Greenberg, and I switched immediately.
Hey now. All right, Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast from WaitingForNextYear.com on the Evergreen Podcast Network. Thanks to the Center for Advanced Dentistry, CFAD.net, and also BreakingTea.com/dairy for the T-shirts. That'll do it for us. We are out of room and out of here.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hastie, the host of Ohio vs. the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains. We'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio vs. the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network, for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.